All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 16 to 21 as we continue to go verse by verse through the Gospel of John on Sunday mornings. And let's just look at John 6, verses 16 to 21. And Father, thank you for this time. Lord, to study your Word, we pray that you would minister this Word to our hearts and change us from the inside out. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. John 6, 16 to 21. The title of this message is, Where is Jesus in the Storm? Where is Jesus in the storm? Have you ever asked this question before? Where is Jesus in my storm? Whether that is a storm you are personally going through or someone you know going through, or when a storm devastates a certain part of the world, we have the tendency to ask, where is Jesus in this storm? And I believe these verses will give us answers to these kinds of questions as we see the disciples go through a storm. Now, we're in the section of the Gospel of John where we see the popularity of Jesus was growing. It was growing to the point where after Jesus fed the 5,000, that according to verse 15, it says that they wanted to come and take him by force and make him their king. And at this time, Jesus departed again to a mountain by himself alone, according to the end of verse 15. And we know from Matthew's gospel that he departed and went alone by himself to pray and to seek the Lord in the midst of what was going on. Look at verses 16 and 17. Now, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat and went over to the sea towards Capernaum. Let me stop right there. Now, according to Luke 9, verse 12, the feeding of the 5,000 took place in late afternoon. So it was late in the afternoon when the feeding of the 5,000 took place. So by now it was evening. Matthew 14, 22 says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And I'm sure that at this point, the disciples were excited about Jesus becoming the king of Israel. No doubt arguing over who would do what in the kingdom. And we know this because Matthew 18 verse 1 says that they constantly argued over who would be considered the greatest in the kingdom. And seeing that Matthew 14, 22 says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat to go to the other side, raises the question, why did Jesus send his disciples away in such a hurry? And here's the amazing thing. He sent them away right into a storm. Jesus, being all-knowing, had to know a storm was coming. So why would Jesus send them into a storm? I believe that Jesus knew that his disciples will be tempted to do things that are not right, good, or ethical. And this is why Jesus had to get his disciples away from the crowd. They will get caught up in the crowd frenzy of it all. And so he sent them to Capernaum, which was 5 miles to the west of where they were located. And I'm sure that the disciples didn't fully understand why Jesus was in such a hurry to get them away from the crowd, especially when all of this excitement was going on. And maybe you're here in this situation now where exciting things are happening for you in life or on the job. They're about to make you king of the department or king of the squadron or queen of the bank. And all of a sudden, a storm comes and you get orders, or you get transferred to a different department, or you even get fired from the job for no reason. And you feel like the disciples in the second part of verse 17, look what it says there. And it was already dark and Jesus had not come to them. And you feel the same way. Jesus had not come to explain to you what was going on. And maybe you feel like this right now, like the disciple, that it's dark. It's a dark time in your life. And Jesus had not come to you either. Meaning you don't sense his presence in your life. You feel abandoned. You're left wondering, why did God allow this to happen? You feel forsaken and alone. The disciples felt like this. Let's see what happened in verse 18. It says, then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. The sea in this verse is referring to the Sea of Galilee that we were introduced to in verse 1. The Sea of Galilee lies 700 feet below sea level, while the surrounding hills rise approximately 2,000 feet above sea level. The sharp drop of nearly 3,000 feet from the tips and the tip tops of the mountains of the hills to the surface of the sea, it would create conditions for severe storms to suddenly take place within minutes. And when the strong winds from the mountains will sweep through the valley and meet up with the warm wind that was above the lake, storms would take place in seconds. And why did Jesus send his disciples into this storm? The same reason he sends us into storms, for our protection. There are at least three different kinds of storms that the Lord allows to blow in our lives. Number one, there are storms of protection. See, Jesus knew his disciples would get caught up in the frenzy and the excitement of the crowd to make him king. We've already talked about how they constantly argued over who would be considered the greatest in the kingdom. So he sent his disciples into a storm of protection to protect them from the temptations that come from being popular and being part of the in crowd. Protection from pride and arrogance and a know-it-all mentality that can take place when all of a sudden you're the most popular one around. And Jesus knew that they would have been tempted to do things that are not right, that are not good or ethical. So the same is true for us. God will send us into a storm of protection to protect us from the temptation that being popular or successful brings. This is why God allowed Uncle Sam to give you orders to get you out of there, because they were going to be some things that you would have been tempted to do that are not right, being popular and successful. Your head swelling. You believe in the press clippings about yourself. All these things. I say this because when you're popular, you're tempted to become a man pleaser instead of a God pleaser. And this is why God allowed you to get fired from that job that wanted to make you king of the department or queen of the section. And so a storm of protection comes. Why? Because he was protecting you from being tempted to do something that is not right. Because you want to please those who made you king or queen of the department. And you find yourself a man pleaser instead of a God pleaser. So God sends a storm. Number one, a storm of protection. Number two, there's storms of correction. We find this in the book of Jonah. See, God wanted to use Jonah in a great way in the lives of the Ninevites. Nineveh, you know, being the capital of Assyria. God wanted to reach the Ninevites. And so God wanted to use Jonah the prophet to go there to preach repentance to them. But Jonah could not stand the Ninevites. He hated them. The Assyrians were a wicked, cruel people. When they took the 10 northern tribes into captivity in 721 BC, they were very cruel. They put fish hooks in the mouths of the Israelites and drugged them off into captivity. The women that were pregnant with children, they cut the babies out and killed the baby. They were a wicked people. So when God said, go to the Ninevites, Jonah, no, I ain't going there. No. But you know why? Because he knew God to be a merciful, forgiving God, that he might preach and the Ninevites might repent. And he didn't want to see them saved. He wanted to see them condemned forever. So he said, you know what? I'm getting on the ship and I'm going in the opposite direction to Tarshish, according to Jonah 1 verse 3. It is amazing how that works. Whenever we want to backslide, sail in the opposite direction from what God wants us to do, Satan will always meet us at the port to take us in the opposite direction. And this is always, you know, there's always a ship waiting on you to take you in the opposite direction if you want to get on. But just know, just like Jonah, you will pay a price for it. In Jonah 1:3, it said that he got on the boat and paid the fare. There is always a cost. There's always a price to pay to go in the opposite direction from what God has for us. And so often it is a heavy cost. And right now someone is pondering whether to get involved with a person relationally. Oh yes, it will take you in the opposite direction like it did Jonah, but you think that it's worth it because you aren't being loved at home. Or you get involved with someone in a business venture. Oh no, it's not right. They want you to do some things that's unethical. It's not right, but you can't beat the money. Just know that Satan will have a ship waiting for you at the dock. And there will be a heavy price to pay for it. And please don't miss this particular point. If you are running from God or trying to rationalize what you know is not His best for you, just know that a storm is coming. And this storm will be a storm of correction to get you back on the right track. I've been in my share of storms of correction. And let me tell you something, there's always a heavy price to pay. And you know where it's seen? It's seen in the family, especially your children. That's where the price is paid. You think I'm just doing me. I'm going to do me right now. No, 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 no. You're never just doing you. There will be a price to pay and your family will pay the price, especially your children. And you will see it there. So this is the second kind of storm, a storm of correction. Then number three, there's a storm of direction. We see this illustrated in Acts 27. The Apostle Paul was getting on a ship headed to Rome. And all of a sudden a violent storm came called the Euroclyton, according to Acts 27:14 for you note takers. And what they thought blew them off course, but it was right on course with the plan of God. See, before Paul made it to Rome, there were a group of people on the island of Malta in need of ministry and in need of the Lord. So God was saying, Paul, before you go to Rome, I will allow a storm to blow you what you think is off course. But I want you to do something for me and that you wouldn't have thought of on your own in a million years. Something that wasn't a part of your agenda for the day or your agenda for your life. There are some Maltese people that need to hear about Jesus Christ, and I want to use you to do it. And maybe you're here and you feel like God has blown your life off course and you're doing something now that you would not have done in a million years. Just know that God is blowing you right in the direction He wants you, because there are some people He wants you to minister to. Or maybe you had dreams of becoming a nurse or a doctor or a lawyer or engineer. And then a storm came and blew what you think is off course. You got married and started having babies. And now you're ministering to Maltese people, your children. But you have never thought about this though. Have you thought that you could be raising them to be doctors, lawyers, nurses, or engineers? So there are storms of protection, correction, and direction. Which storm are you in presently? Ask the Lord to reveal to you the one you're in. And I believe as I went through these things, the Lord has already shown you what storm you're in. The disciples found themselves in a storm of protection. And I'm sure that as they were down there, they were probably blaming each other as they were on this boat. Man, I told you we should have waited on Jesus. Man, you know, but Jesus said, go to the other side. No, we should have waited on him. They were probably going at it. No doubt, come to think of it, why didn't Jesus come with us? Man, and they were mad at him too. They were all upset. So what happened next? Did Jesus just leave them in the storm? Look at verse 19. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. This was a severe storm because these were very experienced fishermen that knew the Sea of Galilee like the back of their hand. They're very familiar with the Sea of Galilee. This great wind that verse 18 describes that caused the storm blew the disciples off course, pushing their boat in the middle of the sea, according to Matthew 14, verse 24. Mark 6:48 says that they were straining at rowing, desperately trying to reach the safety of the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. Now, keep in mind that the disciples left for Capernaum in the evening, according to verse 16, which meant it was around 6 to 9 p.m. when they left. Matthew 14:25 and Mark 6:48 said that now it was the fourth watch of the night, which was between the hours of 3 to 6 a.m. They had been battling this storm for approximately 9 hours. During this time, they had only traveled 3 to 4 miles, according to this verse. It was at this time Jesus came to them walking on the sea, and they were afraid. Mark 6:48 says Jesus would have passed them by. Why? I suggest to you that Jesus wanted to see whether they will continue to try to strain at rowing and try to row themselves out of the storm, or whether they will see him and cry out for his help. Are you trying to row yourself out of your storm? Are you trying in your own energy to calm the storm in your life? Learn from the disciples that you can't. No matter how experienced you think you are in your field, like the disciples were, experienced fishermen, whenever you're in the storm that the Lord sends your way, no matter how much experience you think you have, your experience will leave you hopeless and helpless, like it did the disciples. Let me ask you this. When the disciples were in the midst of the storm, when they were battling 9 hours trying to row, the other gospels say they were bailing water out. It was just, they thought they were going to perish. Let me ask you, do you think that they were thinking about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Do you think as they were battling 9 hours, their lives in jeopardy, do you think they were thinking about Jesus being king? No, they were thinking about their lives. It's funny how we think about the basic things in life when storms come our way. That all the material and financial and vocational success that we think we might have, we're not thinking about any of those things. If you notice, whenever they announce that some storm is potentially coming in our area, that no one is going to check their 401k. No one is looking online on monsters.com about a new job. What is everyone doing? Going to Walmart and getting some water, some bread, peanut butter. That's what people are thinking about when storms are coming. They're not thinking about how you're supposed to get promoted next month, or how some new job called you. You're not thinking about any of those things when a storm comes. I remember when Hurricane Isabel blew through here back in 2003, and we lost power for about a week or so. It was just incredible. It's funny how things, you know, kind of went back to when I was growing up. Kids outside playing, riding bikes, because there was no Xbox to play, no electricity. There was everybody was outside. Everybody, you know, trying to put something on the grill to eat. Because you're thinking about the basic things in life when storms come. We're not thinking about all these other things. Therefore, Jesus knew the disciples will be caught up in the frenzy of it. They didn't want to make Jesus king. I'm going to be the greatest. No, I'm going to be the greatest. Jesus said, I got to get them out of here. Because they're going to be caught up in it all. Pride filling their hearts, because now Jesus is king and they're his disciples. So therefore, don't you know who I am? I'm Peter, the disciple of Jesus. Cocky, arrogant, filling himself. And Jesus said, I got to get them out of here. I got to protect them. Because I know they will be tempted to believe the hype and get caught up in the hype of it all. Look what it says in verses 20 and 21. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Now, we can see from these verses that initially they didn't recognize that it was Jesus coming to them. Matthew 14, verse 26 says that they thought that it was a ghost when they saw him. But Jesus comforts them by saying in verse 20, "It is I, do not be afraid." Do you see how fear can cause us to miss Jesus coming to us in the storm? So often we ask, "Where is Jesus in my storm?" And Jesus will always, notice, always come to us. But so often we miss him because we think he's something else or someone else. We think he's a ghost like the disciples. Or we think that he's a gardener like Mary. And when Mary came to the tomb and Jesus said, "Mary," and it says, and she thought he was the gardener. And all of a sudden we see the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They thought Jesus was a stranger. Know this for certain, Jesus will come to us in whatever storm we find ourselves in, but the question is, will you recognize him? Because so often we dismiss certain folks coming to us because we say, "Oh, that's just a gardener. Oh, that's just a stranger. What do they know?" God uses people, whether you like it or not. It says for you note takers in 2 Corinthians 7:6, it says, "It is God who comforts the downcast, that he comforts us by the coming of Titus." Notice this. Who comforts the downcast? It's God who comforts the downcast. How did he do it? By sending Titus. "Oh, Lord, I'm in the storm, please. I need your help. I need to know you with me. God, please, please." Knock, knock, knock on the door. We look through the peephole. "I'm not answering that." Your phone go blowing up and you, "Oh, I'm not answering that. God, please send somebody." And we crying and all that kind of mess. Will you recognize Jesus coming to you, or will you dismiss those people God sends your way? Because it'll be people you wouldn't expect. People you think is a stranger. People you think is nothing, like a ghost. People you think is just a regular worker, and you the supervisor, you think that they're just a gardener. And you dismiss God sending these people to you because God uses people. He's not just going to appear in your room and says, "Hi, I'm Jesus. Pastor Tony said, I will come in the storm. So here I am and I'm here for you." No, he uses people. The Israelites for 400 years have been crying out, "God, deliver us from the Egyptian slavery." God sent Moses. God uses people. See, that's the thing. This is the thing we have to see. And so often we dismiss people because people are a trip. People are messy and people are a hot buttered mess. And therefore we got this thing with people, and God uses people. And you got to understand that. But I love how verse 21 says when Jesus came to him, verse 21 said they willingly received him into the boat. Meaning Jesus didn't force himself on board. He didn't say, "Move over, Peter and James. Let me on. Get out of the way." No, the disciples received him willingly. Will you willingly receive Jesus into the boat of your life? Or will you keep trying to bail yourself out of your storm, straining at rowing like the disciples did? When we receive Jesus into our boat, then he immediately brings our boat to the land, like the end of verse 21 says. Let me conclude with this. Where is Jesus in the storm? He will meet us in our storm like he did the disciples, whether that is a storm of protection, a storm of correction, or direction. He will come to us. When he does, will you recognize him? In other words, don't allow fear to keep you from recognizing Jesus coming to you in the storm. And so often when we're afraid, we miss Jesus coming to us because fear has a way of blinding our eyes. of really seeing Jesus. Because we're freaked out. We're afraid. Oh, that can be Jesus. Ooh. And fear blinds our eyes to seeing Jesus. So when he comes to you, will you recognize him? And if you do, will you receive him into your boat? He's not going to force himself into your life. He's not. There'll be people that come, hey, is everything okay? And you're like, oh, no, everything's fine. I'm gone. They back off. And then you go to praying, God, please. And then somebody else will come. Hey, is everything okay? Well, yeah. What do you think? Everything's fine. See, when he comes to you, will you willingly receive him? The disciples, they willingly receive Jesus into the boat. And he will bring your boat. If you do, he'll bring your boat to land, or he will calm the storm raging in your life. Maybe right now things are sunny for you. But just know, if you find yourself tomorrow in a storm, will you be able to recognize the storm you're in? And then if you recognize the storm you're in, will you recognize Jesus when he comes? I didn't say if he comes. When he comes, will you recognize him? Because it can be a storm of correction, storm of protection, or a storm of direction. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for coming to us in our storm. Lord, give us eyes to recognize you coming to us. Thank you so much that you promised that you would be there. Lord, I pray that we would not allow fear to keep us from recognizing you. And when you come, may we willingly receive you into the boat of our lives. Lord, I pray for anyone here who has never really surrendered their life to you, Lord. I pray that they repent of their sin and believe you died on the cross and was buried and rose for them. Your word said they shall be saved. Draw people unto you today in Jesus' name. Amen.